Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Jones and Keefe.
I think both you and Josh McDaniels earlier this year had some comments similar about, there's good plays or there's plays you learn from. Like, that's sort of the options when you're out there. In terms of that interception at the goal line in particular, is that an example of a play you learn from, and that experience maybe will change the way you approach a similar situation in the future?
Yeah, I think you learn from any interception you throw. You know, I think it's unfortunate how it got tipped, and, I was trying to throw kind of a little, back shoulder ball to Booty. It would have been a touchdown. So maybe giving a different ball flight to it, it was my learning down there. But really, I wouldn't change my decision down there throwing it. So it's unfortunate that, a good player got his hands on it. And, but from there, I wouldn't change my decision.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
Are you ready to get into Drake May's development, Keefe?
Oh, I'm ready to get in there. I was born ready, Jones.
I tell you. What do you think?
I didn't love that answer yesterday.
I thought it was a strange, he kind of okey-doked us with the answer.
Yeah.
He changed his answer mid-answer.
I didn't like it.
He was like, yeah, I'd learn from that, but I'd do it again. You're like, so you would or you would not
maybe
learn from
a different
it.
Ball flight, but I'm not changing my decision. It's like, you're not changing your decision.
I think a different ball flight would have absolutely been the better decision there. I think you might have had a touchdown
different
there.
Different ball flight, yeah. Is a different decision. What are you talking about?
Correct. Yeah, I'd learn from that, but I'd do it again. You're like, I'm like, okay. I don't know if I understand that.
I don't know. He seems a little too okay with turning it over. And that, like, that was a killer, killer, killer turnover.
Backbreaker.
And he seems a little too okay with that turnover in that spot, even with a day to reflect. And while kind of sort of taking some blame, I'd make the same decision again. Which I guess Wiggy was just filling us in on the gaps on this, but I guess great minds can't disagree on this, Keith,
apparently,
because
yeah.
Wiggy and Ty, and even he was saying Boomer Esiason are all kind of on one side, and then Chris Scheim is on the other.
True.
On that interception in the end zone.
And Ty, Wiggy, and Scheim, I love all three of those guys, but they don't see eye to eye on this. And apparently the Hall of Fame cornerback, Ty Law, is telling Chris Scheim that he just should have put the ball, back pylon. And he would have had a touchdown, which I agree with. That's what I thought in real time. And when they showed the replay, it was like kind of confirmed. You're like, because everyone's like, oh, the ball got tipped. The ball got tipped. What do you want him to do? The ball got tipped. Well, you don't throw it that low. You throw it higher and further away. Then you probably have a touchdown. And yet apparently Scheim really dug his heels in and was like, no. Yeah, that was the right throw. It's like, well, it ended in an interception. I don't think it was the right throw.
So Scheim likes that answer from May, I'm sure. Good decision.
I kind of think. Now, maybe I'm wrong on this. Maybe this is where nobody would agree with me.
Okay.
Even if the ball isn't tipped, it might get picked.
Yeah.
It's more likely to get picked on that flight path than it would have been had he just gone like up and over. So the tip made the interception easier, but I feel like if you watch that play over and over again, like a lot of us have, I think even if Hayward doesn't get his big paw on it, it might still get like undercut and picked. So, like, that was not the right throw. Drake May overall had a solid game, but that was devastating. That was a horrible horrible decision.
Yeah, I think big picture, and this is something we're going to get into all day long here on Jones and Keefe. It is Tier Tuesday. We're going to be tearing off breakfast cereals, Keith?
You got that right.
Very excited about that.
Yeah, me too. This is going to be pretty good. Our food ones are usually pretty exciting. Polarizing at times.
They are.
You know, that could lead to some big arguments. But
we've had this one in the back pocket for some time.
I'm excited.
So we're excited to get to that.
I love a big bowl of cereal.
Oh, me too.
A giant bowl of cereal.
It's a Tom E. Tuesday.
Yes.
He joins us every Tuesday, most of the time at high noon Eastern time.
Right.
He's going to be high noon
Brazil.
High noon Brazil time today.
Okay. So that'll be 11 o'clock for here locally. If you're with us in Boston, it'd be 11 o'clock.
Okay. So last week he was high noon Central time.
Correct.
This week, high noon in Brazil.
That's right.
So the man is very consistent.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to Tommy Curran a little less than an hour from now at 11 o'clock Eastern time.
Correct.
Plus we have a Kiefer Madness for you at 12:45 as we do each and every Tuesday. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram, at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along and chat, or can you?
Yeah, you can.
Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. No, it's
YouTube.
Not there.
YouTube, go to
YouTube. You're going to have to do it on YouTube. Always a healthy chat going on on YouTube.
It's feisty.
So make sure you check us out there today.
It's like worlds colliding. The YouTube chat people aren't usually used to talking to the Twitch chat people. They've sort of migrated over. Now there's like a little bit of a
battle.
Is
YouTube going to get introduced to Monty Mac?
If they're lucky.
Oh, good call. Lucky. What if that's already taken on YouTube? Well, the handle's already taken.
Monty_Mac. With a one.
You can go Hogdale. Monty Mac _ at the
end.
You could hit him with that at the end
of
that.
Good discourse in there.
So we'll
have that up and running. So when it comes down to guessing the random baseball player in grab bag, we can look at YouTube today.
That's what we'll be looking at. Yeah, you're right. So that's going on there today, again, on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. The book is out on the Patriots and their turnovers. The book is out on Drake May and the turnovers, and maybe it's because he doesn't seem to care about them. I was very intrigued by this answer. He was asked about Ramondre Stevenson, but Cam Hayward gave a very interesting answer to Mike Florio yesterday after the game. He said, we practice a lot of our turnover circuits, punching the ball, being aware of different opportunities to create turnovers, he told Florio by phone after the game. And we knew there were a lot of career fumbles on the other side. So I read that, and I'm like, oh, okay, he's talking about Ramondre.
Or
he says, you know, well, we're practicing that. We got to be well prepared for the opportunities. And then Florio asked a follow-up about specifically being prepared for Stevenson, and he says, oh, we were aware every time he was in the game, and that's not anything on him, and it's not just him. Drake May has turned the ball over earlier in his career, and a couple of other guys as well. We were really locked
Gibson.
In on this group. Yep.
Gibson's a fumbler.
That turns it over, and it's about making sure you're there for the opportunities and you have a good chance to punch it loose. So, look, they were locked in on Stevenson. They were aware of Stevenson. They were ready to go on Ramondre. But the next name he mentioned, the only other name he specifically mentioned, was Drake May. Yeah, he's turned it over in his career. That's the book on Drake May.
100%. I mean, he says like early in his career. It's all early in his career. He hasn't even played 20 NFL games yet, right? He's like sneaking up on finally like a full season because he didn't start right away a year ago, but he has fumbled a bunch. And I think any good defensive coordinator would obviously know that, or head coach would know that. But I don't think it hurts that Jabril Peppers, who was a teammate last year and saw Drake May fumbles, saw Ramondre Stevenson fumbles. You know, Gibson's real issues were more back in Washington, less so last year. But all three of those guys have a little bit of a history of putting the ball on the ground. So defensively, those guys were going for it, and they got it. They caused a bunch of turnovers in the game. And, that's something that all those guys are going to have to put behind them. We gave some examples yesterday of players that were fumble-prone early in their careers, and whether they changed how they held the ball or whatever, they sort of cleaned it up and were able to have good careers. But right now, that is definitely attached to, I would say, all three of those guys, right? I think Gibson, maybe it comes back up a little bit. Stevenson, clearly, the last year and three games has been a big issue. And then Drake May. I mean, Drake May, I think, had as many fumbles as any quarterback last year, and he didn't play all the games. Like, the guys that he was tied with all played 17 games. So as far as, like, per snap, he was right up there at the top of the league. So he has to clean that up.
So to me, the most concerning one out of that group is May. Like, Stevenson's pretty easy. We said yesterday, make him inactive for this week. Don't give him a uniform.
May's going to have the ball every time.
And you drafted Travion Henderson, whether or not he's ready for it. I mean, you took him at 38 for a reason.
Yeah.
There was already, I think, a projected ascension there in the running back room. You have alternatives, in other words. Drake May, you don't. So when the book's out on Drake May, And people start referring to him as turnover prone, loose with the football. That goes to the interception decision that he made in the end zone, which was a poor decision. And he doesn't seem to be losing any sleep over it based on his appearance yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. If you missed any of it, we played it for you off the top. You can also hit the rewind feature on the Odyssey app to go back and listen to their full interview yesterday. You can also listen on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. But he doesn't seem beaten up and broken down over that one. Same with the fumbling issues that continue to plague him. So I just wonder if he realizes that turnovers are problematic. I wonder if he realizes that the book is out and people now know he's loose with the football. And I wonder if he cares. And again, you can discuss 617-779-7937. We're here, Keith, 3 weeks into year two with Drake May.
Yeah.
A lot of people point out, and you just said this, he didn't play a full allotment of games as a rookie. He's still kind of
a
rookie.
He kind
of
is.
Which I don't really co-sign on, but you hear it all the time. Well, guys, he still hasn't even played a full season's That's worth right. of games. He's still
close.
A rookie.
He's getting there.
He's three games into year two, is how I would say it. Mm-hmm. How do we feel about his development? Like, big picture, taking a step back from just Sunday, how do we feel about his development here under Vrabel?
I think it's been overall positive. I would say week two was the best game he's played in his entire career. And so that is very much a positive, right? This isn't, you know, Mac Jones, who I think a lot of people had doubts about anyway, even when they drafted him, right? He was the fifth quarterback taken in that draft, probably overdrafted, probably shouldn't have been a first round pick. Had a pretty productive year one, though. And I know it was really kind of aided by a couple of big games, but whatever. Like, they had a top 10 offense and they made the playoffs. But then even in year two, you're like, oh, he's worse. He's worse in year two. Like, Drake May is already better in year two, in my opinion.
I do agree with that.
That's a good sign, right? And so, hopefully the wins will come. Like, eventually the wins will be there. Nobody thought he was going to have 17 games with no touch or no interceptions and no fumbles, right? Like, that's not going to happen. But you'd like to see it, you know, still clean that up a little bit and not throw interceptions in the end zone, for example, which almost feels like it's like two or three interceptions, right? Like, that's how you have to weigh it that way. But I would say, for a guy that in year two has a new head coach, has a new offensive coordinator, has a bunch of new teammates around him, I think it has been a positive. Like, I'm not looking at him right now and being like, oh, he's a top 10 quarterback. But I'm also not looking at him being like, he's a bottom 10 quarterback. Like, I think he's kind of where he needs to be right now on the way up.
Yeah, and the turnovers are maddening.
Yeah.
And I don't think 14 points on Sunday. Some of it was his own turnovers. Some of it was other people's fault. Pop Douglas short of the sticks, the Stevenson fumbles, the Gibson fumble. But he turned it over as much as anybody else on Sunday, and he led the offense to 14 points. And leading up to the Pop Douglas play on fourth down, he had an incomplete pass, and they came up short of the sticks. And I'm not going to let him off the hook for all of that, especially given how pivotal both of those turnovers were. So I don't think Sunday was good enough. But taking a step back and kind of looking at it for the first 3 weeks and comparing to what Drake May looked like as a rookie, and given some of the utilization, we've talked about the way he's run through the first 3 weeks. That looks way better than a year ago, right, where it looked like he kind of went a read, maybe looked towards a second read, and then took off and panicked. He looks more in control, and I think he has developed. So I feel okay about the overall development and the trajectory, and it seems like he's in a way better place in year two. Maybe that should be self-evident. You have more experience, more under your belt, but he seems to be in a better place than he was as a rookie. So I do feel good about that. But the turnovers have to get cleaned up. That said, the two names he gets comped to all the time. Nick did some research on this.
Hey, Nick was doing homework.
Nick Stats and Info.
Yeah.
He came in with a binder.
Yeah, he did.
Notepad.
20 years and it's on page 3.
Yeah, well.
He had a Jurassic Park Trapper Keeper.
He came in with notes ready to go today. Yeah. And Nick took it upon himself to look at Josh Allen. You hear that name all the time.
Stud.
Not just from callers to sports radio.
MVP of the league.
Okay. Mike Reese wrote after week one, a GM reached out and brought up Josh Allen to Mike Reese, Bragg. But wow. he brought up the name Josh. So people in the league are doing the same comp. Okay. Through three games in year two, Josh Allen, I know, was 3-0, and the Bills were on their route to a 10-win season and a playoff appearance. But what were the numbers through 3 weeks, Nick? What did your research tell you?
Drake May has six touchdowns and three turnovers compared to Josh Allen's five total touchdowns, five turnovers.
Okay, so hang on. So one more touchdown for May.
More touchdowns, less turnovers.
And two fewer turnovers through three games compared to Josh Allen.
Before Josh Allen went to New England and turned the ball over three more times. Ooh. So he would have three total touchdowns or five total touchdowns and 8 turnovers. He also did fumble in that game, didn't lose it.
Well, but yeah, he was
in that whole season. He fumbled 14 times.
Okay.
Gadzooks.
So, I mean, Allen in year two was still turnover prone, inaccurate, making mistakes left and right.
Yeah, he had completed 58% of his passes that year. Drake May this season is at 72.5 or whatever.
Okay, look, that makes me feel better. I'll be honest, all of that makes me feel better.
Definitely.
His team won 10 games and they were in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know,
but that's not the only indication, because Mac Jones won 10 games, but nobody was like, hell yeah, this is definitely the guy.
It's true.
I think in two of those wins, Josh Allen scored like 17 points. He needed like 17 or 16 points.
No, and then even the playoff game that he played in was one of the worst playoff games of all time. Like, it was
Allen.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one?
Against the Texans? Is that right?
Yeah.
It wasn't even a game.
Somebody has to win this one. The guys were like throwing the ball backwards. Like, it set the game of football back several years.
Okay, let me give you another one that he gets comped to a lot. Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
Herbert did not make the playoffs. He won 9 games, though, in year two. He started out with 6 touchdowns to, it looks like, 3 turnovers in the first 3 weeks of the year. So, again, very comparable. He started 2-1. Allen started 3-0. Drake May is 1-2, and it's not like Drake's played a tough schedule.
No.
Those 3 games for Herbert, he went 337 and a touchdown, 338 and a touchdown, 2 picks, 281, 4 touchdowns. Yeah. His first 3 games of that year.
But would you? So this is, I think, a tough case where, like, as a fan of the team, you want them to win as many games as possible, obviously. However, if you had to choose between those two things, right? Let's say it's a Justin Herbert type season where you're like, oh, this guy's really good, but the team just misses the playoffs. Or,
well, just misses the playoffs.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They have a winning record, but they're a game out of the playoffs.
Yeah. Let's say they're like 8
before
or 9.
You even finish your question, I'd take that.
Okay. Yeah. Or, like, you win a couple more games, you're firmly in the playoffs, but it's a little bit more of a roller coaster. It's a little bit more winning on defense and running game, like a Mac Jones in 21. I think long term, you would have to take the Herbert season for Drake May than you would, like, the overall team.
And I think Drake May is on pace this year for 4,500 yards.
Well, I was just going to say,
he comps very, very well to Herbert and Allen through 3 games in year two. He does. Not the wins, but there's time to fix that. But he comps very well to those two statistically, including turnovers, touchdowns, passing yards, rating, all that stuff. He does.
3 games is early, but we were doing this with Pop Douglas yesterday. If you project out the rest of the season, and it's probably a little bit better to do it after 4 weeks because that's a bigger sample. But after 3 weeks, to Nick's point, Drake May's on pace for 4,448 yards, which the preseason over-under was like 3,500,
way
I think.
Over. I mean, he's going to go way over if he keeps up that
this.
Pace.
And then the touchdown passes was like 19.5 was the over-under. He's on pace for 28.
Yeah, but here's what I don't want. I don't want him to put up all those numbers and win 6 games. So, like, I don't want him to have great numbers and win 6 games. Mm. Like, I would rather, you know, he's a little more in between statistically, but they win the 8 or 9. Like, I am putting some emphasis on winning games.
Yeah, no, I want to win games too. But
Herbert won him by year two.
Yeah.
Allen was in the playoffs by year two. This guy should be at least doing what Herbert did year two. 9-8, 8-9, good statistical season, clear breakout, team's on the right path. Maybe they don't have enough. Maybe they lose a key game at the end of the year or lose out on a tiebreaker or something and they're out. I don't want a 6-win team, and he lights it up statistically, but has boneheaded turnovers at the end of games like he did on Sunday. That's what I don't want.
But I don't want to give the guy excuses like I probably did all of last season, but if this defense doesn't turn it around, I thought part of the reason why I thought they would be a playoff team is because I thought the defense was going to be like a top 10 defense. So the defense continues to be a one that misses tackles all the time, gives up these big scoring drives, then that's going to be tough to overcome. You know, some of the other rookies or young quarterbacks that have been able to win a bunch of games had the benefit of at least an above-average defense, let alone a great defense. And so right now, they're letting them down, too.
So, ready for this? Sticking with the turnovers for a moment. This is Doug Kide, who just tweeted this out in the last 15 minutes or so.
Okay. Ooh, it's a fresh tweet.
Nope, I'm sorry.
Never mind.
This is from
15 hours ago.
Yeah, it was longer ago, but somebody just sent it to me.
3 weeks ago.
Drake May has shown improvement this year, but turnovers are still an issue. In the 2024 draft class, May is 2nd turnovers per game. He trails J.J. McCarthy, who's only played 2 games.
Yeah, but he sucks.
But he's turned it over more than Rattler, Nix, Penix.
Penis.
Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels.
Caleb Williams is nice.
Other active QBs with more than 1.19 turnovers per game.
Okay.
Here are the names.
All right.
Jameis.
Well, he giveth and he taketh away.
Will Levis.
Not good.
His good pal, Sam Howell.
Oh, yeah.
Bailey Zappe.
Zappy's turning it over that much.
Drake May turns it over more than Trevor Lawrence, Anthony Richardson, Josh Dobbs, Joe Flacco, Sam Darnold, Nick Mullins, Matt Stafford.
He's trying to make a play. You know, he's trying to put the team on his back out there. It hasn't really worked out thus far.
So,
no, I think it's obvious. He has to hold on to the ball better.
Those are not encouraging numbers there at the quarterback spot, and it's self-evident. You have to get that sorted out. And then he gives an answer yesterday to Andy and Fitzy, and he's like, well, yeah, you know, I mean, I'd do the same decision again. Like, oh, maybe I got to change the ball trajectory,
but I'd also do the same
but thing. I'm still going to do it again.
So you think he meant I made the right read, I'm throwing the booty every single time, look, I should have changed the flight of the ball?
I hope he meant
that's how I read it.
It's not what he said, but hopefully that's what he meant. Yeah, I don't know what he meant, but that is not what he said. So I just wonder if he gets it. I wonder if he gets it at this point in time. We were wondering that about Josh Allen three games into year two. People were probably wondering about Herbert and some other quarterbacks as well. And he compares very favorably statistically to those guys. He does start after racking up wins and cutting down the turnovers. He's going to have to start doing that. 617-779-7937. How do you feel about the development of Drake May through three games here in year two? We'll get to that. And where exactly is the impact from Mike Vrabel three games into his first year with the New England Patriots? Perhaps those two go hand in hand. We can get to that right after Trending with Billy Lanning.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox return to action tonight for the first of three against the Blue Jays in Toronto. First pitch from Rogers Center is at 7:07. You can hear the call of the game with Will Fleming and Mike Monaco right here on 93.7. And across the Shaw's and Style Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Lucas Giolito will get the start in the series open against the Jays' Kevin Gausman. Don't forget to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show at Christian Arkand at 6:07. Last night on Monday Night Football, the Detroit Lions got the 38-30 win over the Baltimore Ravens. The New England Patriots are off today. Pats will return to the practice field tomorrow to begin preparations for Sunday's matchup against the Carolina Panthers. David Pastrnak returned to the Bruins practice yesterday for the first time this season. And tonight, the Bruins preseason schedule continues. The Bees are in New York to take on the Rangers. Puck drop is at 7 o'clock. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
They need to stop playing like jackasses, all right? They do that, they might start winning some games, all right? Let's call it what it is. Like, they played like jackasses way too often. and you did not think that was going to be the case this year.
Greg Bedard are playing like jackasses too often, which we didn't expect to be the case. I'd say that's fairly accurate.
Yeah, some jackass plays.
I did not expect the Patriots to play like jackasses for three straight weeks under Vrabel. Like, I was pretty annoyed after week one. We came in after the Raiders lost and we're like,
what was that?
He's not Mayo. Vrabel's not Mayo, but...
Yeah, but...
That looked a lot like a Gerard Mayo game.
Yeah.
That was the takeaway when we came in after week one. Now, after 3 weeks, I'm like, he's not Mayo, but...
Or...
He's a lot closer to Mayo than I thought. A lot closer to Mayo than I
you're
thought.
You're at the, he's not Mayo, but I'm at the, he's not Mayo, or...
He, is or he? Is he?
Yeah.
Well, look,
not,
you,
Keith,
we heard maybe it was an introductory press conference or an early press conference. You're like, boy, there were some Mayo-esque moments in there.
Well,
a lot of people were like, he's just like Bill.
No.
Look at him. Look at the way he handles the media. He's just like Bill. Nah, turns out he's kind of like Mayo.
I had a different impression of him. I thought, because just from afar, you would hear some of his clips. You know, if they were playing the Patriots, you'd obviously hear a lot about it that week and in postgame. But just as a general NFL fan, and you're like, hey, it's Mike Vrabel. You'd hear a lot of his interviews or, I guess, kind of highlight reel, little sizzle reels. And I'm like, I like his sarcasm. I think he's pretty funny. He's both kind of a hard ass, but also has like a sense of humor. I'm like, I like the guy's personality. So then when he got here, I think I was expecting something a little different. He stepped in it more than I would have guessed. All offseason, or preseason, I guess, we were talking about certain things that he was asked about that he kind of offered up these strange comments. The Christian Gonzalez contract thing is a big one.
I mean, that one still...
That's the big one.
That still... That was 8 weeks ago? That still comes up.
Right.
Like, constantly, that still comes up.
Bizarre. And that was his own doing. Even some of the back and forth with Steph Diggs was kind of strange. And whether he's gonna play or not.
Yeah, Phil, where'd you...
You stupid idiot.
Yeah, where'd you go to school, Phil, you moron?
Okay. Like, so there's been a few things along the way.
The McDaniels stuff.
The McDaniels plate
stuff.
Is there
too much on Drake's plate? He could have just been, no, there's not too much on him. Yeah.
So there was a lot of weird stuff. And then you're like, all right, how much of that matters? I mean, like, let's see what it looks like on the field. Okay, great. Because, like, there's one thing, like, how you handle your players in the media and stuff off the field. Then there's the on the field. Well, the on the field hasn't been very good. They're penalized at an insane rate. They turn the ball over like crazy. They don't seem to be super disciplined or ready to go.
And I'm sorry to interrupt, but and he doesn't care that they're not disciplined. He doesn't
He's excusing it away. He's
does not care about the penalties.
Yeah, bad flag.
And he told Greg last week that it actually is not a predictor of wins in the NFL. So he's like, cool. I don't even track it. I don't even care about it. Then when they do get called for him, like you said, he's complaining about the Carlton Davis one on top of it. But yeah, they're penalized at a high rate. He doesn't care about that. They turn it over at a high rate. They're sloppy,
you know,
and they've lost two out of three games to a trash schedule.
Yeah. So the four most penalized teams total flags this year, it looks like,
in the NFL.
I think. No. Let me dig into this a little bit more. But it looks like it's like Tennessee, New Orleans, Minnesota, New England.
Tennessee and New Orleans are terrible. Minnesota's good,
yeah,
I guess.
Minnesota's
but,
right,
okay,
yeah.
So maybe Minnesota is an example of what he's saying.
So maybe.
But three out of four bad teams on that list.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Last year, the Titans were the most penalized team. They also were the worst team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. So looking at this is, so I have a list here. Penalized teams last year as well as these games. So like 20 games played the last couple of years. So some of that's not fair because some of the teams have, you know, changed coach or whatever. But anyway, Titans, Jets, Cowboys are the three most penalized teams.
Titans, Jets,
yep.
Cowboys.
All have incredible losing records. So anyway, I think it might. But no, that has been, you know, so much was made, as with any team. Head coach, quarterback. What are you going to get out of these guys? Where do you rank in the league? You know, how many quarterbacks did you take over May? How many coaches did you take over Vrabel? I would say through three games, Drake May has been definitely the better guy of the two. I think Drake May has acquitted himself
Who do I feel better about through 3 weeks? I feel better about May than Vrabel, 100%.
Way better.
100%.
He's had a great performance, a great individual performance in week two. Highs and lows in the other games, but some highs and some just overall productive play. And he's put himself where you're like, all right, he is an above-average quarterback. I'm not going to go crazy and put him up there with, you know, Lamar and Allen, but he's an above-average quarterback. Through three games, Vrabel does not look like an above-average head coach.
No.
So that's frustrating.
And he's got another challenge this week. Is he going to bench Ramondre?
Yeah, good question.
Or is he going to roll Ramondre right back out there?
Mm.
Is Pop going to play this week? Like,
still on the team.
He shouldn't be on the team. He didn't pop up on waivers?
He didn't pop up on waivers.
Okay.
No, I was looking.
Neither one should get a uniform this week. Like, at best, you're inactive. You're healthy scratches. We're sending a message.
Yeah, yeah.
And if he doesn't do that, yeah, he's a lot closer to Mayo than I ever would have thought three weeks in. I like the text line, 617-779-7937. Guys, he's not Mayo, but he is a condiment.
Okay.
He's not a head coach, at least not the way he's been so far through 3 weeks. People also taking us to task for our comps for Drake May, Josh Allen, and Justin Herbert through 3 weeks.
Well, those are hot.
But through 3 weeks of year two, May compares outside of wins pretty favorably to those guys.
Yeah.
Through 3 weeks this year, Drake May is like a top seven quarterback.
Oh, yeah, for this season.
This season.
Yeah.
I mean, depending on what metric you want to use.
Yeah, I mean, right. That does.
Yards, he's fifth. Passer rating, he's like ninth.
No, I think
touchdowns,
he's even higher.
He's like seventh.
I was looking this up. I think QB rating is actually higher because a couple of the guys that rank above him have played one game.
Yeah,
so it's kind of
like Mariota or somebody like that.
The guys that played three games, he's top seven.
People think Trubisky's a better comp on the text line.
He was the Nickelodeon valuable player.
That's a good point.
So
I think he's. I feel pretty confident.
His rookie year, didn't
he? And the Pro Bowl.
Look, you can mark tape on this one, Nick, and you would throw it back in my face if you want. I feel pretty confident he's better than Mitch Trubisky. I'll go out on a limb and say. He's better than Mitch Trubisky.
The better North Carolina quarterback?
Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount+. Plus, Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. You can watch the new season of Tulsa King, one episode in the books, if I'm not mistaken.
All right.
Now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Let's get to your phone calls. We got some Red Sox thoughts coming up as well. Cotto's in Boston. Get us started today, Cotto.
Adam the Weasel Jones. How's it going, buddy?
What's up?
So, I think that the Patriots' defense is not very good, and I think it was a waste to spend so much money and to sign Carlton Davis. He hasn't done anything good except for that deflection versus the Raiders. Other than that, he's been getting torched. And if you were going to sign a player like Carlton Davis, who's going to perform the way he has, you should have just gone and picked up a veteran cornerback like Stephon Gilmore.
Okay, so I don't think he's been getting torched. He had the penalty against, was it Metcalf on the side?
Yes, it was Metcalf. The ball was like thrown in the third row.
So I agree. I don't really crush him for that. I know he was very good. They barely even threw at him week two in the Dolphins game.
And week one, he helped get the pick. Hawkins wouldn't have the pick if it wasn't for Davis.
I don't think he's been terrible.
What's his fault on the Thornton long conversion?
Yeah, the third and 20.
Yeah. No, he gave that one up.
But that's the one bad play I can think about.
I did have this thought. I don't think Davis has been bad, per se, but I did have this thought. I don't know how much you were paying attention last night. I believe you're a Zay Flowers guy, right, in fantasy? Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, I like Zay Flowers.
Okay. You notice Zay Flowers got a race last night?
Well,
which
is surprising because they're wearing the all-black uniforms.
That's
true. You know how fast they look. Who's shutting them down?
Is it Reed? DJ Reed, the corner from the Jets, now on the Lions. Mm. Everywhere he went, he was following him around last night. And that
didn't help me.
That occurred to me watching the game last night because I was big on Reed in free agency.
Yeah.
And when he went to the Lions and the Pats signed Carlton Davis, I'm like, well, that is weird because they clearly decided to move on from Davis and they're bringing in this guy who you were in the division with.
Right.
And I preferred Reed, but I'm like, whatever, Carlton Davis, good corner. That's one that maybe we can go back and say, did they get the best guy in free agency? But I don't think Davis has been bad.
No,
that's not how I
would
characterize
it. I like Carlton Davis as your number one, but you love him as your number two corner. So when Gonzalez comes back, I feel like Carlton Davis will be even better. You can choose, you know, different ways to use him that way, and you know you don't have Alex Austin out there as much as you do. So I've been okay. The defense
I could do without Alex Austin.
Yeah,
as defense, good as he was in camp, man, had a nice camp. I could do without him.
Didn't they bench him?
I could do without Double A. They did. They benched him for the guy they claimed off waivers, Woods. Yeah.
Yeah, he was good. No, the defense overall has been disappointing. I'll give the call. I wouldn't single out Carlton Davis on that front, but that's me.
Let's go to Bob in Londonderry. Hello, Bob.
Hey, good morning. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
I was just wondering if you'd agree with an assessment or an opinion that I came up with quite a long time back.
Oh.
It actually started 2 years before Brady left, and I used to always say the biggest issue the Patriots have their butterfingers. At any given point, the ball, it doesn't matter if they're running, throwing, it doesn't matter. It has gone on and now you're seeing it again. And in my opinion, when you have that situation, you can practice till the cows come home. There's no fixing it. The only way you fix it is to replace the people who cannot hang on to the ball.
I thought this was going to be a Deflategate take is where I thought that was going.
No.
I thought we were talking about letting the air out of the footballs. So go back to that. That's where I thought that was going.
So this was a take he's been cooking up since 2017.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So he said before 2 years before Brady left. So nine years, he's felt this way.
The Patriots have a Butterfingers issue.
But his point was you got to get rid of the players. How many different players have they had since 2017? They've had like eight different quarterbacks.
Like,
what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You've moved on from guys. And also, there are examples of players knocking off the bad fumbles. There's plenty of players like Tiki Barber and Amon Green and others that were a horrible fumble. They had issues, and then they cleaned it up. So you can do that. But if your point is they've been that bad for nine straight seasons, they've had a lot of different backs and quarterbacks since then.
Well, look, he's been workshopping that for some time.
Yeah, listen, I mean, hang on to the take.
Did you get any of this on Twitter last night? Derrick Henry has three fumbles, two losses in the first 3 weeks. It's like, should the Ravens sit down Derrick Henry? Did you get any of that last night? I got some of that.
No, but I did see, so it was an Underdog Fantasy. One of them said Derrick Henry this year, and then it was just a picture of Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah, it was Derrick Henry in the fourth quarter because he has like 10 career quarterbacks.
Yeah. Guy who was like 2,000 yards and is like going to go to the Hall of Fame, though, I'd probably give him a few more cracks at it.
They're the same. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, he's lost two fumbles this year. I forget. I looked this up last night. He's lost something like four or five in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Ramondre had seven fumbles last year. He lost two just on Sunday.
Derrick Henry has over 11,000 yards in his career rushing. I think he's a little different than Ramondre Stevenson.
But I mean, look, if we were doing a radio show in Baltimore, I bet we'd be telling Derrick Henry to hold on to the football. I mean, I bet we'd be doing some of that today.
That's true.
I don't know if I'd say don't give him a uniform.
No.
And I don't know that he's Ramondre Stevenson, but let's give it a couple of weeks.
We'd be like, they need to put in who? Do they even have a backup?
Oh yeah, Justice Hill.
Yeah, put in Justice Hill.
Keaton Mitchell.
Mitchell still there?
Oh, I like it. I do kind of like Keaton Mitchell.
Get Mark Ingram out of retirement.
Yeah. 617-779-7937. You can jump in there. With all the Patriots issues here through 2 weeks, how do you feel about Drake May's development at this point in time? Rather, through 3 weeks, I should say. And Mike Vrabel and his impact, where is it so far in his first year here in New England? We haven't seen it yet. Plus, how do the Red Sox get into the playoffs? Six games to go. Going down to the wire. Are they going to get in? How do they get in? And how do we feel about this playoff format? We'll do it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss.
New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right. Pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now. Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
And streaming on WEEI.com.
On the ground to first, it is handled there by Gray. Steps on the first base bag. Ball game over. The Red Sox cannot sweep the Rays. They fall here tonight 7-3. Really bad base running haunted the Red Sox, as did a lack of cashing in with the bases loaded. Rays salvage the finale. Boston still in the standings, picks up ground on a lot of teams with them in the playoff race. And after a day off, they start the biggest series of their season Tuesday in Toronto.
All right, Keith. Holy smokes. Nut cutting time for the Reds. Last night was
down to it.
Last night was a nice respite, I got to be honest.
I needed the breather.
I wanted to watch that Monday night game.
Yep. Good game.
I had Big Brother to catch up on. I had stuff
to do.
Did you
watch Big Brothers?
I did. Last night
did
was.
You think about watching any movies? Oh, no, don't
sick
tell.
Brag, bro.
That's tomorrow. That'll be a part of the Dork Minute.
Thank
you. Can tell us about what movie you
thank
almost
you. How
watched.
How dare you? I will do that tomorrow.
Save it.
What did I almost watch?
Mm-hmm.
Superman. But we'll do that tomorrow.
Good,
but
good,
it was a nice respite to like throttle down for a night. You don't have to stress out about how the Red Sox are going to piss you off and blow this thing.
Oh my God.
But it's back tonight. Six straight days of hell. Red Sox trying to hang on to make the postseason. Do you think they're going to get in? What's the path to get in? I separately want to get to, we haven't been in a pennant race in a while. Shaughnessy made this point in print the other day, and it's a good one. Since the new format, the Red Sox haven't even been in it. So like, how do you feel about the whole?
I don't remember.
Six teams all duking it out for like five teams for four spots or whatever it is. Plus, we're going to get wild card matchups. A separate thought to get to.
Yep.
But how confident are you they get in, and what's their best path to get in?
So I'm not super confident. However, I do think they get in. If you're like, they're in or they're out, I have them in right now. There's six games to go. I think if they go 500, they're in. Houston has been falling apart. And Cleveland's been insane. I mean, they just lost on Sunday. They were also off yesterday. But basically, it's going to be two for those three spots. And maybe even Detroit slips out of it.
So oh, no. Detroit is on my list. Okay. I technically had Seattle on the list, but you're right. Seattle's probably not even on there.
Seattle, New York, Toronto. Obviously, Toronto's literally clinched. But those teams are good. One team's going to win the Central. The other one is in risk of missing. So I think they at least have a decent chance, but I don't feel great about it. I don't know how you can. It's going to feel like, for better or worse, the next six games are going to feel like playoff games.
Yeah.
Because it's like anytime they lose, not that they don't have room for error, right? These aren't all must wins, but it just like, as you're watching it, they can't let any opportunity slip away. Like if they blow a lead or, you know, if a starter gets shelled early, like you're just going to feel terrible because it's there for them. I know the Roman Anthony injury has really kind of derailed things and derailed the offense, but they had such a big lead just a few weeks ago that they desperately need to get in. I think they do, but I don't know how you could have a ton of confidence.
So here's the deal. The Red Sox are two games behind Seattle. I think that's hard to make up in six games, but they're technically still kind of challenging Seattle if Houston were to rip past Seattle and drop in the AL West. Seattle will drop to a wild card, which currently they're leading the AL West. You're three games back of the Yankees, you're not catching them. You're five games back of the Blue Jays, you're not catching them. Red Sox and Tigers are tied. That's a dead heat, is what it is. So if Detroit starts losing games and falls into wild card position while Cleveland moves up, the Red Sox are racing them. They're a game up on Cleveland, although they have the tiebreaker with Cleveland. They could still technically get it with Detroit, but I don't think they're going to.
No, I don't think they can. I think they would. What's the second tiebreaker? Because didn't they get swept by Detroit?
Second tiebreaker is division record.
I think the
Red Sox have to sweep Detroit, but I think they can technically get the tiebreaker, but they probably won't get
it. Plus, if you sweep them, you probably won't need the tiebreaker.
Also
if
true.
You sweep them, you're got to be ahead of them.
Also good point. Yeah. and you are two games clear. I'm sorry, a game clear of Houston. Same thing. You have the tiebreaker with them.
Aye, aye, aye.
So my answer would be the easiest way in is Houston just continues to fall apart. They lost Yordan Alvarez. They've lost three in a row. They've lost 4-7. They've lost whatever it is, 5 out of 10. They're not playing well. But they play the A's and the Angels. Like, I don't think that's a great way to get in. The Guardians and Tigers start up a three-game series now. I think what you really have to hope for is one of those team sweeps. I mean, what you're really rooting for is one of those team sweeps, or at least Cleveland wins that series. 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
I think you just want to, well, maybe not. Maybe I have that backwards. Maybe you want the Tigers to sweep. So then the Tigers have less to play for in that final series. Whatever it is,
yeah.
I think you want one of those teams to really dominate that series, hopefully a sweep. So, I think that's your best way to back in if you don't trust the Red Sox winning a bunch of games, which I got to be honest, I don't.
So it's funny because Detroit for a long time looked like they might be the number one overall seed.
Yeah.
And then they have absolutely sunk like a stone to the point where Tarek Skubal, who's probably going to win the Cy Young, is pitching today for Detroit. Therefore, if need be, he could probably pitch the finale against the Red Sox and Giolito. And there's a chance, depending on what happens the next 5 games, that the winner is in. Like, they'd probably want to rest him so he could start game 1 of the wild card, but they might not be able to do that.
No, they may not be able to.
They might have to throw him, and it would be a de facto playoff game before the playoffs.
Skubal, Giolito.
Give me Giolito. No, but like, how wild, like, what a scenario that is. And obviously, I want the Red Sox to just win every game and get in, but if you're looking for high stakes, there's a chance that it comes down to literally the winner of that game gets in and then faces whoever, the Yankees or whatever it might be. I guess it wouldn't be the Yankees. It would probably be the next top team in there. But
6 days of hell.
It is. It really is.
The good news.
What is the good news?
A lot of different ways to get in. Houston can fall apart. Detroit can fall apart. Cleveland can fall apart.
Detroit has already fallen apart, and hopefully that continues for your 3-game series with them.
So any of those, you're effectively jockeying with all those teams.
Yeah.
And you just need one. You just need to outplay one of those two.
What do you think the
down,
record? Needs
I'm sorry.
To be?
One of those three teams down the stretch. I think they need to go 3-3.
Same. Okay. So I think they need to go 3-3.
That means Cleveland or Houston has to go 5-1. Which look, they could.
Yeah.
But I think if you go 3-3, you're in a pretty good spot.
So you got Giolito tonight, Crochet tomorrow, Bayo on Thursday. It's currently open on Friday, but I
think that's Harrison.
Probably Harrison, who last time was good. Then Early, then Giolito. It's another Apple TV game on Friday, by the way.
With Crochet and Bulk.
Playoffs on the line.
Honestly,
Apple TV.
People may not even want to watch. People may not want to put themselves through it.
Yeah,
maybe they'll get flexed out.
You can always listen on WWE.
No, that's going to be like a must-see game. But at least the thing with Apple is at least you can change the broadcasters to EEI.
Right on there.
Yeah, you can.
There you go. Yeah, or bad. You can just lock right in on WEEI. Mm-hmm. The format is... I guess
wonky.
I guess in some ways very reassuring, Keith. That if this was an older format, we'd really be sweating this out. They'd be clinging to their lives, tied for the final wild card spot. They have a little more cushion because of this new format. We'll see where they're going for three games.
It is possible for the Tigers to chase them down in the second tiebreaker. By the way, the Red Sox have a 30-19 record in the division. The Tigers have a 29-20 record in the division.
Oh, so they're closer than I thought. So okay, so that's not even
bets are off.
I don't think you're getting the tiebreaker with Detroit anyway. You'd have to sweep them, so right. I don't feel confident in sweeping them. 617-779-7937. Are you ready for these final 6 games? Do you trust the Red Sox? What's the best way to get in? And how do you feel about the new format? You can discuss there. It's Tier Tuesday on Jones and Keefe. We're going to tier off breakfast cereals coming up at 11:30. We're looking forward to it. It's also a Tom E. Tuesday.
Tommy!
Tom E. Curran joins us at high noon in Brazil, 11 a.m. Eastern time. That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.